Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Genesis 12 is where we'll be this morning in the Word. We are walking through the life of Abraham. You'll see at the beginning, when we're introduced to Abraham, he's actually called Abram. And that's, I wouldn't call it a coincidence. I don't think the Lord arranges coincidences. I think he just does things. And so, we're looking at the life of Abraham this morning, and we're going to see a place in his life where his faith wanes. We see he had great faith when the Lord called him. That's what we looked at in Genesis 12 last week. And then we see at different spots in his life where his faith wanes. We're going to dive into those places this morning. Earlier this week, the Lord knew I needed an illustration for this morning. So he provided one. I was attempting to make my daughter's, part of my daughter's dinner, which she has decided for a few months anyway that she likes Easy Mac. Anybody familiar with Easy Mac in here? You know, a little plastic bowl, you rip the thing off. It's supposed to be super easy. For some reason, easy instructions tripped me up, and I got tripped up the other day. I was supposed to open the lid up, pour the water in, put it in the microwave, take it out, put the cheese in, stir it up, give it to Emma Louise. But instead, I put the water in, put the cheese in, stirred it up, put it in the microwave. And about halfway through the time it was supposed to be in the microwave, the directions are on the bowl in the microwave, and I say, Charlotte, do you put the cheese in before the microwave or after? And she's like, after. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. It turns out everything was okay, but there's a reason that they have a 1-2-3-step process. It's a little better when you put the cheese in after it's microwaved. And here, what we're going to see this morning is a couple of different situations in Abram's life where he came into a problem, encountered a problem. That would be number one. You need to remember this. I'm going to reference this throughout the sermon today. So he came into the problem. That would be number one. And number two would be to go to the Lord. And number three would be to follow the solution that the Lord has given him, right? But what we see in Abram's life, in a couple of different situations anyway, is that he goes, step one, problem, step three, solution. And I know none of us in here ever do that, but in case you meet somebody who might do that in their life, you can use this passage that we're going to look at in Genesis 12 and 16 this morning. So are you ready to dive into the Word? I want to pray and ask you to pray with me just for the Lord to guide us through His Word this morning. Father, Lord, we constantly encounter challenges that we don't have the wisdom to get through, and problems, and Lord, we react differently, all of us differently, some with fear, some with immediate solution. And so, Lord, we pray that You would remind us, that You would teach us how we need to handle the challenges in our lives by faith. Lord, show us in the life of Abraham what it would look like to walk by faith even through the challenges of life this morning. In Your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Genesis chapter 12. So, we see and we're introduced to Abram at the beginning of chapter 12. God calls Abram to follow him and go to a country that he will eventually show Abram. And Abram goes. He takes him and his immediate family and some of his possessions and flocks and herds, and he follows the Lord. And then we pick up, that's verses 1 through 9, chapter 12, and we pick up in verse 10. And we're going to read verses 10 through 20 this morning. Now I want you to look for those steps that we just referenced. Number one, problem. Number two, consulting the Lord. Number three, following the Lord's solution. Verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful, and when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and for her sake he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. Verse 17, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Now, do you see the problem? The first problem that Abram encountered was that there was a famine in the land. Verse 1. There was a famine, not just any famine, a great famine where Abram was. And then you see him skip to step 3, right? He doesn't ask the Lord what he should do. He doesn't say, Lord, I know you're not going to let me starve because you promised me a family and I don't have a family yet. So you're going to deliver us. What would you like me to do? He skips that. Do you see it? And he goes straight to Egypt. And then in Egypt, he becomes scared again for his own life. He says, my wife is really pretty. That's the problem. He's scared Pharaoh is going to try to take his wife, Sarai, for himself and kill Abram. So Abram, looking out for Abram, says, I got an idea. Sarai, tell them you're my sister. That way they won't kill me. So that's exactly what they do. That's the solution. Problem, first problem, famine. Solution, go to Egypt. Second problem, step 1, he's got a pretty wife. He's scared that Pharaoh will kill him for his wife. He skips to step 3, solution, Sarah, tell them you're my sister. And Pharaoh will take you for his wife, but he won't kill me to do it. Abram's like prime example of a terrible husband at this point. You see Abram's faith waning in these passages. You don't necessarily see him struggling with whether to make a decision or not. It's just that he functions as if he has no faith. He never consults God. He has a problem, he jumps straight to what he thinks the best solution would be. And I want you to see this. This whole thing, this whole situation that he put himself in and the solution he came up with was all about Abram. He wasn't looking out for his wife's and his family's best interests. He was looking out for Abram's best interest. And in the process of coming up with his own solution, he put Sarai in a terrible situation. And you can take the obvious facts from this scenario. She became Pharaoh's wife. And the Lord delivered them from this situation by afflicting Pharaoh. And Pharaoh approached Abram saying, what did you do to me? Why have you told me that she's your sister when she's your wife? Go. Take her and all your things and go, right? But do you see the scenario, how it plays out? There's a problem. Abram jumps straight to a solution. Now we see this happen again later on in Genesis in the life of Abram and Sarah. Go to chapter 16. We're going to read the first six verses here. Now remember, at the beginning of chapter 12, God came to Abram. He promises him to make him a great nation. and Sarai is barren. So somewhere along the way, God is going to have to perform a miracle for Sarah to have a baby. That has not happened yet. And Abram and Sarai, in chapter 16, their faith is shaking. They've heard what the Lord is going to do for them. They've heard His promise, but they're struggling to believe it. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. It says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, 'May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me.' But Abram said to Sarai, 'Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please.' Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her." So, we got to look for the same things we looked for in the second half of chapter 12. The problem here is that Sarai and Abram want to have children. God has promised them that Sarai, this barren woman, will have a child. He's promised that to happen, but it hasn't come to fruition yet. And Sarai's faith specifically is waning. She says these words, "The Lord has kept me from bearing a child." That's the problem. Right? "I haven't had a child. I want a child." Solution: Abram, marry another woman. Have a child with her. That child will be mine. And Abram, being the self-sacrificing husband that he was, said, "If you want me to, I will." So you see what happens here? Sarai's faith waned. She has a problem. She comes up with her own solution. And you think about Hagar in this situation. You think about the results for Abram and Sarai and their marriage in this situation. And the results of that solution for that problem were horrific for everyone involved. And notice that Abram didn't slow the process down. Sarai went from problem to solution without consulting the Lord. Abram said, "Sounds good to me." And he went with it. And the results were detrimental. I want us to think about this in our lives. Something happens unexpectedly financially in our lives. As those who have surrendered our lives to Jesus, step two would be to say, "Lord, I have no idea what I'm going to do about this. What should I do about this?" And consult godly men and women that the Lord has given us. Consult His word that the Lord has given us in our lives to figure out a solution. But many times when we encounter a problem, we go to step three, solution. We encounter problems in our family and we go, problem, solution. We encounter problems in our work and we go, problem, solution. We encounter problems, just things in general that don't go expected. And we go from problem to solution. What I want you to see is that this is a way of life. It's a habit. It's not a one-time deal. It's the way that someone lives. And someone who's living apart from their faith in Christ will be habitually living this way. Problem, solution, problem, solution, problem, solution. And eventually they'll discover that their solutions never really work out for the best. Someone who is living by faith says, problem, go to the Lord, solution. Problem, go to the Lord, solution. Problem, go to the Lord, solution. Do you see it? Step one, step two, step three. There's a logical process for people who are following the Lord Jesus to follow in their lives. Abram and Sarai miss that at these stages in their lives. When our faith wanes, we set our eyes. We are tempted and we naturally set our eyes on the things we can see, and we come up with a solution based on the things that we can see. But what we should do is set our eyes on the Lord, using the eyes of faith, consult Him, and follow His guidance for a solution. You with me so far? Now, the second thing I want us to see is that you may say, well, that's good, but sometimes when I encounter a problem, I'm good enough at life that my solutions actually work out pretty good. And I would say, maybe for you. But here's the thing. When our faith wanes and we come up with solutions for our problems on our own without consulting the Lord, it directly impacts the people in our lives. I want you to look at this. This is obvious. It's a really clear application of what happens in these chapters. Verses 12 through 9, chapter 12, verses 12 through 9, you look at 12 through 19, you look at it, and it says, and when the Egyptians see you, this is Abram speaking to Sarai, they will say, this is his wife. They will kill me, but they will let you live. You see who Abram's concerned about there. He's concerned about Abram. So say you are my sister, that it may go well with you because of me, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Then later on, in verse 17, we see, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife, so that I took her for my wife? The consequences of Abram's faith waning and him functioning apart from faith in this situation was he literally gave his wife to another man to be his wife. There's some awful things that happen in the Bible. And like, many times people will take chapters like this and they will say, how can you worship this God? The thing is that God's recording history for us to see what happens when we don't follow Him. He's not condoning this behavior of Abram. He's condemning it with this chapter. Abram acted out of a lack of faith for Abram. And the result was his wife was given to another man. Abram's lack of faith, I don't think Abram would have said this, but hypothetically, Abram might have said, well, we got through it. And I bet you if Sarai had heard him say that, she would have been like, no, we didn't. Because Abram's lack of faith directly affected Sarai. Not only that, but you see a trickle-down effect. You see it affect Sarai later on. Because Sarai follows the same steps Abram followed here. Problem, solution. And Sarai comes up with a solution to being childless and barren. And her solution directly affected Hagar and her marriage. You keep reading through the book of Genesis, and what you see is that these moments of a lack of faith are actually passed down to the next generation. Later on, Isaac is married, and he's married to a beautiful woman named Rebecca. And Isaac encounters a powerful man named Abimelech, and he is fearful for his own life. So guess what his solution was? Tell Abimelech, you're my sister. we see is that Abram's waning faith in chapter 12 immediately affected Sarai in a detrimental way. Later on, affected Sarai in the fact that she followed in his footsteps. And then, years later, in the next generation, when his son is grown and gone, Abraham's lack of faith in Genesis 12 is being repeated in his son's life in Genesis 26. So we may say, well, sometimes my solutions are pretty good. I get through it. But we have to see that when we act in a lack of faith, when we go from problem to solution without consulting the Lord, it doesn't just affect us. It directly impacts the lives of the people around us. Sometimes immediately, and sometimes it trickles down years down the road. But it does affect them. Do you see that? So we need some good news to this, right? And there is a host of good news in these chapters. Because what we see is, yes, when our faith wanes, it is our temptation just to look at the things that we can see with our physical eyes. And when our faith wanes and we make decisions, we go from problem to solution without consulting the Lord, it negatively impacts and directly impacts the people in our lives. But what we also need to see in these chapters is that when our faith wanes, and even when we sin as a result of our faith waning, God is gracious and God is faithful. Look at chapter 12, the end of it, the last four verses. Look at the Lord's graciousness towards Abram and Sarai. It says, verse 17, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh. He afflicted Pharaoh to cause Pharaoh to reverse this situation, to get Abram and his family and his wife, whom he gave to Pharaoh, out of Egypt safely. God acted graciously towards Abram and Sarai. He rescued them out of the situation that Abram's lack of faith put them in. God is so gracious in this situation and so faithful. You see Abram faithless, struggling to trust the Lord in his life, and you see God's faithfulness remain. He is good. In chapter 16, when you see Sarah's faith wane, and you see Abram's faith wane, and you see them try to conceive a child another way other than the way that the Lord told them it would happen, God, in the following chapters, comes to them once again, and he reminds them of the promise that he gave them in verse 12. I will make you a great nation, and Sarai will bear you a child. Abram and Sarai didn't deserve the Lord's grace towards them. The Lord could have said, you're not listening to me, but he didn't. He was full of grace towards them and said, I'm still going to give you what I promised to give you. Just wait on me, and it'll come to fruition. Have you ever been in a situation where you just needed to hear something again? Maybe it's your spouse and you just needed to hear the words, I love you. Like it just does your heart good to hear them say it again. In a situation where Abram and Sarai nearly derailed God's plans for their lives and God's plans for the salvation of the world eventually through Jesus. In a situation where they acted in total faithlessness, God came to them and said, I'm still going to do for you what I told you I was going to do for you. He protected them. He loved them in spite of their waning faith. He provided for them. And he continued to walk them through their lives. Because in spite of our waning faith, God is gracious and faithful to us. Now, I don't know about you, but walking from problem to step three solution in my life is a constant temptation. And I want to say it again. It's habitual. It's the way in which we live. There can be a good spiritual habit of when we encounter problems in our lives, our natural response isn't to come up with a solution. It's to stop and consult the Lord and the things He's given us in our lives to help guide us through decision making. So as we close today, I want to encourage you. If you're a Christian here, brother, sister, I just want to encourage you, myself included. If your faith has been waning and you've been coming up with solutions to problems in your life, just trying to get to the end of that problem, whether it's been marriage or work or finances or children or family or the list goes on, right? Your God is gracious. And if He's getting your attention today through His Word, that is Him pouring out His grace upon you going, hey, check with me about these things you're making decisions about. I'm faithful to you. And He is. So be encouraged. Maybe today you need to spend some time as we sing in our closing song today, you need to just come before the Lord and confess that you have been going from problem to solution. And you need to just ask the Lord to build a habit into your life of going problem, consulting Him, solution. Maybe today you need to lay down on the altar whatever problem is hanging over your head that you are spinning your wheels and have been spinning your wheels trying to find a solution to. Maybe today you have yet to give your life to Christ and you have spent your whole life trying to fix yourself. Today, you finally need to surrender your life wholly to the Lord and give your life to Him and find salvation in Him today. Maybe you just need to praise Him for His faithfulness. However the Lord is leading you to respond today, as we stand and sing a closing song today, I want you to follow the Spirit and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, God, we praise You for Your faithfulness. God, we thank You that You didn't just set us down on this earth for us to figure out what is right and wrong and how to figure out our own problems, but Lord, You have promised us Your presence and Your guidance. You've given us Your Word and Your people, Lord, so that when we walk through the circumstances of life, we can follow You through them. And Lord, I know there are some here this morning who are struggling with challenges and circumstances and problems, and the temptation is to come up with solution after solution, but this morning they need to come to You with their problem. And Lord, we pray that You would hear their prayer. God, we thank You and we praise You for the fact that You are gracious towards us. You are patient with us, just as You were with Abram and Sarai. You keep Your promises, and Lord, You are faithful. Even when our faith wanes, You are faithful. God, we thank You for that. May You have Your way with our hearts today. In Your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.